It's the Denver CityCast and the Bet Rivers Network Western Conference Finals. Oh, yes, the Nuggets and the Lakers. They're back at it once again, first time since the bubble in 2020. I'm going to break this thing down for you, give you my best bets. Plus, my friend, Spread a Stare from RunPureBets.com is going to hop on and give us his best selection for this series. It is going to be a fun one. Plus, we've got the Broncos and some very interesting news that came out of the rookie mini camp, and it has to do with Javonte Williams. I've got a Rockies. I mean, how about the Rockies? Bryce Harper getting it into it with the Rockies. Now we've got a bet tonight on the Reds of the Rockies for you, and Mark Jackson, ultimately the guy that ends up being the one voter that didn't vote for Jokic in the MVP. 19% of voters in the MVP in the NBA from ESPN. Got to discuss that. But it is time for the Nuggets to exercise their demons against the Lakers. It's time, folks. The Nuggets-Lakers series is a very, very interesting clash of great offense versus great defense. Denver first with a 118.7 offensive rating in the playoffs. The Lakers' defensive rating of 106.5 is first among all playoff teams. So something's got to give here, right? Now, here are the game one series odds on Bet Rivers, and there's going to be a Jokic triple-double we got to talk about as well. But game one, Nuggets, -5.5. That's at -107 with the juice. -205, money line, 222.5. Okay, we'll get into the Jokic triple-double because I think it's a very, very interesting price now, but I want to start by breaking down a same game parlay. Okay, remember, or maybe you're going to learn this for the first time, the algorithm in same game parlays makes us pay a tax on correlated plays. And what does that mean? Well, let's say that the Nuggets on the money line plus, you know, Jokic triple double or Jokic over 22.5 points, instead of getting the actual lines for a parlay, the book's going to take a little bit of that. So you're going to pay a little extra juice than you normally would. So what I like to do is build a same game parlay, at least +500. Let's get at least 5-1 and throw in a non-correlated play. So again, in this instance, it will be a Jokic under with the Nuggets winning and a game over. So I'm going to get the betting party started with this. Nuggets on the money line. Best home team in the league. They're going to make a statement at home in game one. I'm going to go with a game over 222.5. If I think the Nuggets are going to win, this will be the correlation here. I think this game is going to have to be played at a very efficient and high pace. And that is what we're going to see out of the Nuggets here. So I'm going to take them on the money line. I'm going to take the game over. And I'm going to take Jamal Murray over 23.5 points. The Lakers don't really have the kind of player who could truly bother Murray through the whole series. And I don't think they're going to have an answer for Bubble Murray in game one. Murray shows up for game ones. He scored 24 and 34 in the first two rounds. I have him going over 23.5. Then we get to the contrarian play. Oh boy, why would you do that? Why wouldn't you have everything correlated? Because I'm telling you, if you want to get the best price, you got to get a little creative here. And this is where I'm getting different. I think Joker is going to get his, but I'm also going to wager that he doesn't get to 55.5 points, assists, and rebounds. And what would that look like? Let's say he goes for 28, 10, and 9. I have him projected for 28, 10, and 9. Okay, that's 47. And I want to throw a bit of cushion in here just in case Joker goes crazy for like 32 and 15 and 10. I mean, that wouldn't be great because it'd go over the number, but I do want to give myself enough cushion there. So here's what we do again. Nuggets money line, game over 222.5, Murray over 23.5, Joker under 55.5 PRA, points or rebounds and assists. Total same game parlay odds, +600. So let's try and get this one home. Rooting for overs, rooting for the side, rooting for Murray, rooting for Jokic, just not to get to 55.5. Now, speaking of the Joker, a Jokic triple-double is even money. And now the no on a triple-double is in play for the first time this season at a minus 132 price. Minus 132. Now, the Joker had one triple-double in four games against the Lakers this season, and it just happened to come where LeBron and AD didn't play. And this is going to be a tough matchup. This will be the matchup of the series. Joker versus AD. Davis is the best player in the Lakers now. Davis is also brittle. I wouldn't be surprised if he missed time in this series because if the wind blows one way, this guy gets wheelchaired off into the locker room. And I'm not kidding. I mean, remember the last round? Guy took a forearm to the face. It was like the end of days for him. Stumbled to the sideline, sits down, has to get wheelchaired into the locker room. Are you kidding me, man? I mean, we talk about AD all the time. This guy's Mr. Glass. He's brittle. Anyways, he could also get in foul trouble. So the triple-double will be in play for all of these games, but even money isn't going to get me to pull the trigger on a triple-double. But it would if the bet was a no. So if no on a triple-double ends up getting to even money, it's something I will absolutely 1,000% think about backing, okay? So I lean towards Joker not getting one in game one, but it's not a pre-flop bet for me. Now, this will be the eighth head-to-head meeting in the playoffs. You remember back in the bubble, 3 years ago, Lakers in five. And LA was just the better team in that Western Conference Finals. It was also the moment that the championship window opened for Joker Murray and this core right now. You cannot talk about this series without talking about the history. And I'm not talking about going back into the 80s. I'm talking about the last three meetings. 2020, they lost in five. 2012, first round, Kobe, tough series. They fought back from a 3-1 deficit. They lost in seven. And then 2009, which many believe is the best Nuggets team ever, and I think that that's going to end up being the second best Nuggets team ever after this season. 2009 Western Conference Finals, Lakers in six. There was Melo, there was Chauncey Billups, there was Kenyon Martin. Then there was the 2008 first round. So again, we've had four semi-recent series here between the two teams. This is the one where the Nuggets finally exercise their demons. Nuggets minus 152 in the series for the price is not something you want to hit, though. And again, this is personal preference. Some of you will bet a minus 152. Some of you will bet a minus 200. I'm just not getting into the habit of going past my threshold of minus 135. And normally, I don't feel comfortable even betting a minus 125, but I will do it from time to time. Minus 152s, not the kind of juice I lay. Lakers plus 125 on the other end, not a bad price if you think the Lakers pull this thing out, which is, let's face it, entirely possible. LeBron's not the same player he was even 3 years ago. He's not the three-point threat, but still a great player. AD, though, is the guy that gets things going on this team. So again, I'm not going minus 152. Championship odds, Celtics plus 105, Nuggets plus 230. If you want to place a futures bet here, I wouldn't mind it, but I would also say that you might get a better price, or you will get a better price if the Nuggets drop game one. So that's an interesting angle too. So I'm not going to hit the Nuggets at plus 230 to win it all. It's a much worse price than we were getting coming into the playoffs. Here's the way I'm going to attack this, though, okay? I'm going to go Nuggets in seven plus 375. I'm going to go Lakers in six at plus 425. And we can hedge as the series goes along if necessary. But what I'm doing is putting two units in and trying to get at least 1.75 or 2.25 units back. I do think the Nuggets win this thing. I do think that if the Lakers win, it's going to be in six games. And ultimately, if the Nuggets sweep or win in five, hey, we're all happy here. And I guess I just get it wrong. But I do think that this is a series that goes six or seven. I think it's a series that the Nuggets ultimately end up winning. I'm really excited about it. And I really do believe that finally this town is going to be able to experience an NBA Finals. You think about that these last 2 years. Avalanche last year, winning again. Now, possibly the greatest Nuggets team you've had. Eight wins away from an NBA championship. Also need to talk about the MVP vote here. And for those of you that are celebrating Embiid getting bounced, fine. That's fine. I've said this before and I'll say it again. I don't have any ill will toward Embiid. I like him. He's a Kansas guy. Go for it. But here's the issue I have. 19% of the MVP voters work for ESPN. And the one guy that didn't vote for Joker was Mark Jackson, who also works for ESPN. 19 of 100 MVP votes belong to one entity. One of 19 voted for Joker. Seven voted second place. 10 voted third place. One, nothing for Joker. Now, I know the NBA is in bed with ESPN, but that's just ridiculous. Almost 20% of the votes going to one entity. There's groupthink, and it overtakes everything. You know, normally NBA MVP voters are voters for everything all across the nation. Are they really getting to talk with each other constantly about which way this vote's going? I don't think they are. I don't think they are. And a former head coach in Mark Jackson is apparently not qualified to vote because he didn't understand how to vote. Listen to this explanation that he gave why he left Joker off the ballot.
One thing I live by, you make a mistake, you own it. I'm not a guy that does it for clicks or be trending. Absolute mistake made by me. You can tell I probably, in thinking how did I make the mistake, you can tell I put one center, two forwards, and two guards. So I wasn't even thinking. I apologize to the Denver Nuggets. I apologize to Nikola Jokic, who is not only in the MVP discussion and deserved to be on my ballot, but he's one of the greatest players in the history of this game. And he's a top 10 center of all time. I own it. If you want to take away my vote or do whatever, more than welcome. I made a mistake. He deserves, in my opinion, to be clearly. I would have still voted for Joel Embiid, the MVP, but with Giannis and Joker second and third, they deserve that. Incredible year by him. He continues to make history. I own the mistake, and I apologize.
Are you kidding me, man? That's ridiculous. And Jackson no longer deserves a vote. And let's start giving votes to more beat writers and broadcasters around the league, too. I'm all for that. The thing I can't stand about baseball, it's just the baseball writers. There's so many people that are qualified to vote for MVPs and Hall of Fame and things like that that are not just writers. So get Jackson out of there. Get his vote out of there. If ESPN's going to have 19 voters, some of which are unqualified, they need to have their influence tempered. And I really do understand that 19% of the voters from ESPN helped get Joker back-to-back MVPs. But I wish I knew this then because the criticism should be there. There's no way one entity should have this much influence on one vote. We're going to move along now. We're going to go into the Denver Broncos. Guess what? We got week one lines up. Schedule came out. Everybody was excited about it. I'm more excited about these lines. Now, week one, Broncos Raiders, Denver at home, 3.5-point favorites. And I don't understand how you bet this game 4.5 months out. Maybe you need the action. By all means, go for it. But the Broncos are going to have a new head coach. They got a new head coach. They got a new system. Russ is in a new system. I don't think the defense has really been overhauled. But we do know that offensively, there's a lot of question marks out there. We're going to get to Javonte, too, because that's a big question mark. But good luck trying to figure out how to handicap this game in mid-May. Good luck. I mean, the Raiders have Jimmy G. They try to win 7 straight against the Broncos. They've had a pretty big overhaul, although I really think they're the worst team in the division. But then again, how good are the Broncos going to be? Does Sean Payton just turn this thing around, add 3-4 wins right away at a minimum? I don't know. But good luck if you bet this game. And let me know why and how you came to place a wager this far out. I'm really, really interested in that. Leave it in the comments. Go for it. Now, the other big piece of news from the Broncos will be Javonte. Javonte Williams, is he a go for week one? Here's what Sean Payton had to say about that. He goes, our current starter's doing extremely well. I would tell you we expect him to be ready for the start of training camp, and that's good news. That's Javonte. His rehab's going well. I don't want to speak for him or anybody else, but we get the daily reports. I've read a lot about his status, but I think his rehab is going well. Okay. Now, there's reason for optimism. Why wouldn't you get extraordinarily excited about this? Then I put myself in the place of sports talk show host or podcast or whatever, and I've been around coaches a lot. I've covered a lot of teams. And I say to myself, I've heard this before. Everybody's ahead of schedule. Everybody's on schedule at this point. And then we get to training camp and all of a sudden, oh, well, he's not ready. I've seen it too many times. Now, there's probably not any reason for Sean Payton to go out and lie about that, but I'm going to see it and then I'm going to believe it. I'm not going to buy it right now. Plenty of instances I've seen when a player X is said to be on track and then ultimately they aren't. It happens every single year. You know, Javonte would be 9.5 months post ACL surgery if he ends up starting training camp on time. And then you had Adrian Peterson, the one physical freak who came 8 months after ACL surgery in 2011 and then played in all 16 games. I mean, that was mind-blowing. But if Javonte Williams is the next Adrian Peterson, by all means, go for it. 9.5 months with a lot of the news coming out about a complete reconstruction, a lot more than the ACL. I have question marks about this. Pardon me for being a contrarian here, but I have a hard time buying it. Let's see where Javonte is in 10 weeks, though. He can either stay on course, he could be ready for camp, maybe he has a setback and he isn't. It's encouraging, but I'm not buying it until I see it. I'm not running with it just because Sean Payton says, oh, I'm getting good news on it. Last but not least, Rockies hosting the Reds tonight. But first, what happened yesterday? So we had a little, I don't want to call it a fracas because there were no blows or anything, but there was some pushing. And Bryce Harper of the Phillies, and good job, Rockies. They got the 4-0 win. We won the bet there, but he was charging the Rockies dugout and he got ejected in the 7th inning because we had Jake Bird, one of the Rockies relievers who's been throwing really well. He clapped his hand against his glove and he said something toward the Philly dugout. So I get it. Bird's showing some emotion. And as somebody that actually covered Bryce Harper for years, like from the time he got drafted, I know the type of guy he is. He plays with a lot of emotion, a lot of emotion. And he said that. He said, I get emotion. I understand getting fired up for an inning and stuff like that. But once you make it about a team or make it about yourself and the other team, that's when I kind of got a problem with it. So Harper was upset that Bird was talking trash or whatever. You had Elias Diaz come up and stop Harper from getting toward Bird. And then everybody just came in. And that's where things got messy. And it looked a lot worse than it actually was. Okay? So I went out there just to go, said Harper. It was the heat of the moment. Once we got out there, Bird flew into the dugout. I like what he did there. And he went away. Nobody really saw him after he did what he did. That's a good point. Bird's got to stay out there. Bird can't be chirping and then, gosh, I hate all this double entendre, but he can't be chirping and running away from it. He stood there for a second, then he went into the dugout. If you're going to be the guy that is the impetus for the bench clearing, then you got to be the guy that sticks around. Rob Thompson, Phillies manager, a guy yelling in your dugout, that shouldn't happen. Flat out, that shouldn't happen. Give me a break. Give me a break. This baseball machismo is such a bunch of BS. Bird said, I get a little emotional on the mound. He said it wasn't directed at anyone in particular. It's a good team. It was a big moment. I got a little emotion out there. They took exception to it. Exactly. I mean, Harper just blowing this way out of proportion. And Bird even said, he's a player I look up to. I mean, we're at the point now where major league players are looking up to Bryce Harper. I can't believe time has gone so fast. But Bird says he looks up to him. So, again, I covered Bryce Harper from when he was drafted in 2010 through his days with the Nationals. Bird would get his ass whooped, no question. And Harper overreacted. But Bird needs to rein in his emotions. With that being said, settle down, Bryce Harper. There actually was a fracas. Could you imagine him getting injured again? He's fresh off Tommy John surgery. And Phillies manager Rob Thompson, give me a break. He said Harper was protecting his teammates. That is so ridiculous. Baseball players love to yell and have benches clear and have the bullpens empty, but rarely are punches thrown. It's just so lame. What has anybody learned from this incident? Nothing. Nothing at all. Nice work going after a guy on Mother's Day. Ton of kids hanging out. Give me a break. Harper, settle down. That fire is really part of what makes him great. Jake Bird, I guess, you know, don't look in the dugout and slap your glove. Baseball, What a bunch of fake tough guys. Anyways, the Rockies beat the Phillies. The Sixers were eliminated yesterday. Joel Embiid threw his roster under the bus. All in all, a doubleheader win for Denver. But let's move on to tonight's game. Rockies hosting the Reds. I'm not worried about the side, although Rockies plus 107 on the money line. Total is 11. What I want to do is target the starting pitcher for the Reds, Hunter Green, former number one overall pick, one of the best young pitchers in the game. His K prop is 5.5 at minus 124 on Bet Rivers. He has gone over this number in 3 of 4. He also features a fastball in the upper 90s, 98, 99, touches 100. He's gone over 5.5 Ks, 3 of 4. He's in the midst of a breakout. Rockies K 8.5 times per game. And I think Green gets over this number if he pitches through 5 innings, and I think he gets through 5. Sure, it's his first start at Coors. I don't know if that's going to creep into his mind, but Green, again, he has the stuff. His strikeout rate is about 30%, and my projections over Run Pure have him booked at 6.2 Ks. Give me the over Ks. As promised, spread a stare. Run Pure Bets, runpurebets.com, my friend. Thank you very much for the winner yesterday, as you took under 200.5 in game 7 of the Celtics and the Sixers. Now, I ended up betting it live at 205.5. You had a hell of a sweat, but you cashed it. Spread a stare. Welcome back to the program. You big stud having a monster playoffs. How are you?
Oh, things are going great, man. I've been enjoying it a lot. We have a rematch of the bubble finals. We get to see these teams in the arenas. And hey, I'm happy to be on this show today because, you know, I'll be betting on, you know, the right side, the proper side. You know, I had to bet the Lakers in game 6. It was a tough spot for me. I just closed my eyes and collected the money. But I'm definitely rooting for the Denver Nuggets here to take it home, get their first championship. So let's see how things turn out. I'm diving into this series. Pretty excited at some of the matchups, although at the same time, I think it might be simple in the end when you do the breakdown.
Well, let's get into it here. We could start with the series price, plus 125 Lakers, minus 152 for the Nuggets. We could start with the series MVP, Jokic, a heavy favorite there. So let's just start with the series. How's this one going? Because I'm attacking it from Lakers in 6, Nuggets in 7. That's just how I think. It's 2 outcomes for me in here, and I'll be surprised if anything else happens. How are you handling the series spread?
That's interesting that you don't think the Nuggets could win in 5. I think that's possible as well. I think the longer the series goes, the less chance I give the Nuggets, in my mind. Game 7 is going to be tough, right? Even 6 games. Is it that far-fetched that the Nuggets win 2 games at home, still 1 in L.A., and come home and finish it off? I don't think so. Look at the way that they handled this Phoenix team. And I know what we want to rush to do, and of course, you know, everyone's doing it today with the Philadelphia 76ers, is rush to demean these teams when they lose a series. I mean, newsflash, folks. Someone's going to lose every single series. That doesn't mean that they're a terrible basketball team. It doesn't mean all these guys are bums and deserve to be shot into the moon. And, you know, right? I mean, the way that we talk about these guys after, you know, yesterday, and I'll have fun with it tomorrow on the NBA rundown, right, with Embiid and stuff. But losing to the Boston Celtics I understand they had championship aspirations, but that doesn't mean that Embiid's a terrible player. It doesn't mean that he didn't deserve the MVP, right? Even the Doc Rivers slander, I'm like, what was he supposed to do? He doesn't have better players. Same with Amani Williams getting fired. Now, I understand that has less to do with his on-court performance, but, like, what was he supposed to do against the Denver Nuggets? Mike Malone had 8 to 9 playable players. Amani Williams had 4. What was he supposed to do as a coach? Sometimes I think we overdo this. But what I'm getting back to here is Denver looked dominant against Phoenix, and I could see them doing that against the Lakers. And to me, that's their path to victory. We know the Lakers are going to get calls. Denver fans will probably agree. Nationally, it didn't really get picked up as much. I thought they got screwed on the calls in the bubble.
Well, aren't they going to get screwed now, too? Isn't that something the Nuggets are going to have to overcome?
Yeah, I also think that they had to do it against Phoenix, and they, you're up by 30, it doesn't matter what they call, right? I mean,
you're right. So you like the Nuggets here in a short series?
Yeah, I do like the Nuggets here. Here's what it comes down to. I mean, we can look at all these complicated things, and I hate to make it so reductionary, but it's Jokic versus AD. How is this going to turn out? You know, this is clearly AD's team now. LeBron talked about it when they had Anthony Davis join 3 years ago. And now, you know, he's finally done it, and he's finally turned over the reins to Anthony Davis. So it's going to be really come down to, so are they going to guard each other? I almost think that AD has to guard Jokic. I don't know who else they're going to put out there to guard him. What is that going to do to the Lakers' defense? Because you watch what the Lakers have done in the first two series, and that's use AD as a roamer. AD is fixing a lot of the mistakes that the perimeter players make because he's so good, he rotates so well, and he's a great rim protector. Without him there roaming, are some of these players like Dennis Schroeder, Austin Reeves, are they going to seem a little more attackable without the big brother helping them out? Now, on the other end, I do believe that Aaron Gordon could guard Anthony Davis, right? So that gives Malone some options. The question there, though, is what do you do with Jokic if that does happen? Because obviously he's not the same roamer that Anthony Davis is. Obviously, when we're comparing these players, right, to me, Jokic has the big offensive edge. Davis is by far the better defensive player. But if they can get away with having Aaron Gordon on Davis, that's huge, because first of all, it'll prevent Jokic from getting in foul trouble, which is a big concern. You know, I've already talked about the refereeing, and I think too much is made of the refereeing in these playoffs, but it's also a concern. I mean, we can't throw it out of our handicap. So that's one thing I'm looking at. I do like the Nuggets bench a lot more. I think Bruce Brown keeps proving what an underrated addition he was. You know, we talk about that bubble team that won. Well, KCP's on the other side. He was a big part of that series, and I'm sure he's eager to go ahead and put forth a good performance there. I do like the Nuggets to get it done, but I'm telling you, Holden, the longer this series goes, the more worried I would be about this prediction.
Okay. I hear you. See, and I talked about my keys here, and obviously Jokic AD is a huge one. And if they can get AD in foul trouble a couple of these games, monster advantage there. But the other question is, who's going to be the second guy to step up? And they make fun of me all the time when I say, hey, it's Jamal Murray. But Jamal Murray is going to have to go off like multiple games, not just two games, probably three or four games. None of this, you know, 9 of 22 for 22 points. You know, he's going to have to. So he's the X factor there. And then what about the bench? Let's talk about these two benches. You got Schroeder on one side. You've got, you know, some decent players coming off the bench for them. And over here, Bruce Brown's really led the way. Who has the advantage of the bench in this series, Brad?
I definitely think the Nuggets have the advantage on the bench. But it's going to be your typical playoff series where the Lakers bench will look better in Los Angeles and the Nuggets bench will be look better in Denver. That's why I think it's so important to get out to that 2-0 lead. You got to get that 2-0 lead. Then you're in the spot where you just have to win one in Los Angeles and you can come home and take care of business. I think you have to be short. You have to be decisive the longer this goes. So there you go. I know you talked about Jamal Murray, but to me, I think Michael Porter's the X factor. Another really? Thing that's gone under the radar, Porter's not a traffic cone on defense anymore. And we've always said that about him watching his play. The guy's got the tools. He's never going to be an elite defender, right? He's never going to take over for Aaron Gordon as the guy that could shut down a 2, 3, or 4, right? But mm-hmm. he should be at least a serviceable defender, and he shouldn't be just completely attacked. And I feel like he's gotten there. If he can keep this up and shoot well, he's huge for this team. I've really been surprised and excited about the growth that he's taken in the playoffs, and it's kind of flown under the radar. But let's be honest, the Denver Nuggets have flown under the radar all year.
Yes.
For having a superstar, they don't get talked about a lot, right? The way Kevin Durant and LeBron and Embiid and Jason Tatum and these guys get talked about. And I know Tatum had a great performance yesterday, 51 points in a Game 7 NBA record. But Jokic has been the best player in the playoffs. Hands down, there's no question about it, and that's going to have to continue. But of course, you know, as Embiid said yesterday, one man can't do it alone. I think Michael Porter Jr. is the X factor, and if he's at least serviceable on defense and gives you an offensive burst, now maybe you can absorb some of those 9 of 22 nights from Jamal Murray. Because let's be honest, Holden, we know they're coming. He's not going to shoot 50% from the field this
series.
Coming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about LeBron? Is he getting tired, or is he just going to find the fountain of youth here? Aaron Gordon's going to be all over him. I get it. That'll be a fun matchup. But where's LeBron at this point? Is he as good as ever?
No, he's not as good as ever. He's still great.
As good as 3 years ago?
No, he's not even close. He's not even as good as 2020.
That's 3 years ago, buddy.
Okay. Boy, we're getting old, Holden.
We're getting old, pal. We're getting old. There's no question.
Yeah, no, I don't think there's any case that he is, but I'd say Anthony Davis is better, and that bubble performance was fantastic. But he's playing better. I think the supporting cast is just as good. And the thing about LeBron is, even though physically he might have diminished, the basketball IQ is still there. He's not forcing it when he doesn't need to. I'd say the biggest weakness in his game is the three-point shooting.
Yeah,
the three-point shooting was a Achilles heel when he came into the league. He developed that in Miami. I remember still even in 2015, that first series against the Warriors, it wasn't there. And then by 2018, it felt like he was, you know, a top-notch three-point shooter, and it was scary from him behind the arc. And it feels like just this year, he's kind of lost it here in the playoffs. I don't have the numbers off the top of my head, but I know it's not good.
Yeah.
He's not shooting good from three-point range, and that could be another factor for the Denver Nuggets to exploit. If you can lag off him, keep him from getting to the rim, and keep him shooting outside, you've won the battle. You're going to end up doing well in those games. The key is to keep him from getting to the rim, but you can play off him now. I think that you can let him take those three-point shots, and that's the difference, I'd say, between this LeBron and the LeBron of 3 years ago, the bubble. Thank you for giving me that. And the other thing is, he can't do it for the full 40, 42 minutes anymore. He's going to pick his spots. But when he does turn those engines on, especially on the defensive end and his ability to get to the rim, he's still the same guy.
Last two things for you. First of all, Jokic triple-double, even money, minus 152 on no. I mean, how easy is a triple-double going to be with AD standing in there?
If I'm making that bet, it comes down to, do you expect them to double-team Jokic? Because what I'm really worried about is the assists.
Yep.
Getting there on the assists. If they're going to play the strategy, and teams have done this year, and in fact, you know, and it's great for the DFS players too who spend up, but the strategy of let the star get theirs and shut down the other four guys, it's worked throughout the playoffs, and it's worked the last couple of years. Will Darvin Ham opt for that strategy? Or will he play more traditional, hey, we're going to double team their best guy, we're going to take the ball out of his hands and make the other guys beat us? So my guess is right now they're going to play him straight up. Probably a pretty good look for game one for him to get there. Let's see how Darvin Ham adjusts. But, of course, after game one, we're going to have a much better idea of how they're going to approach him.
Okay. So finally, the series. What's the bet here? What game one, the series, whatever bet you think is the best one, which one are you handing out here for the Lakers and the Nuggets?
All right. I like the Nuggets to win the series. Let me pull up a Nuggets in five.
Spread. I'm tailing you on. I mean, I got to place this other bet, this six and the seven. So Nuggets in five it is for Spread Astaire. My friend, thank you. Preview or just tell us everything that you're doing in the NBA world, because this is your time, buddy. We got three series left. The conference finals, the finals, and you've been slaying it. Where can everybody find your stuff?
All right. I'm, of course, over at runpuresports.com. If you want to join us, use that promo code SPREAD15. You'll get access to all my picks and plays. We do an NBA rundown every single day. Follow me at Spread Astaire as well. You can find my articles that I write for Bookmakers Review and Odds Trader at Spread Astaire.
Spread, thanks, buddy. Thank you to Melissa, Adam, and Terry behind the scenes as well. I appreciate everybody checking out the show. Tell your friends. Make sure you subscribe to the Denver CityCast on the Bet Rivers Network.
Thanks for listening to the Denver CityCast on the Bet Rivers Network.